Amen. Amen. We're outdoors. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me back there, Roy? Amen. Amen. We first of all, we want to welcome everybody to our yearly outdoor service in the park, and we just hope everybody have a good time. The message will come out of Luke 19, 1 through 10, and I've had some handouts for folks who didn't bring their Bibles. Does anybody need one of the handouts? Amen. Amen. And we're going to continue. I'm just going to continue our series on outrageous conversions. And last week we talked about the Philippian jailer and his conversion. And the week before that we talked about Levi, the publican, the tax collector. And this week we're going to look at another outrageous conversion in the person of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, the publican, but Jesus said a lot more about Zacchaeus than that. Let's read Luke 19, 1 through 10. A little breeze going through. Amen. Feels good. Amen. Amen. Luke 19, 1 through 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our precious Savior, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the power that's in the word. And Father God, we ask right now today that the word of God would go out into this congregation and throughout this park, Father God, and lives would be changed as Zacchaeus' life was. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Looking at our story on outrageous conversions, and again, we talked last week about the Philippian jailer, and this week we're talking about this rich, prosperous, evil tax collector. And Zacchaeus was chief. The Bible says he was chief. And one of the reasons Jesus stopped here, because he was on his way to the cross. Jesus was on his way to Calvary's cross. And Zacchaeus was in the way. And Zacchaeus obviously had heard about all the miraculous things that Jesus Christ had done. I believe he may have heard about Matthew's conversion. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. He may have easily heard of Matthew's conversion. He may have heard all the healings and all the things that Jesus Christ had done. Being a man of the world, it was obviously that Zacchaeus had traveled to great and difficult parts of the country of that day, being talked to by many people. So when we come to Luke 19:1, it says Jesus entered in and passed through Jericho. And when you study the Bible, Jesus only passed through Jericho one time. Okay? So when we look at this word pass, that means he wasn't planning on stopping. He was passing through. And I believe he's still passing through. And those that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we need to take this opportunity because Jesus is on the move and he's passing through. Okay? And a lot of times we sit back and we talk about the devil's trick, and his number one trick is you got plenty of time. Take your time, won't worry about it, you got plenty of time. But Jesus don't operate like that. He's on the move. So he says here in verse number 1, and he passed through Jericho. And one thing to understand about Jericho was the main road into Jerusalem. Okay? It was a rich, rich city. It had plenty of money, plenty of wealth, plenty of product, and plenty of folks passing through. So here's Jesus passing through, and he runs into Zacchaeus. Now Jesus says three things, the Bible says three things about Zacchaeus. It says number one, that he was chief. Okay? He was chief. He wasn't just a publican. He was chief. And if we go back to 1 Timothy 1, Paul talks about this. 1 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 12, and I know everyone don't have their Bibles, but it says, Paul saying this in chapter 1, explaining who he was. Paul says, and I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, that who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now, Paul starts talking about things that we don't like to talk about. He starts giving his testimony, who he was. He says, who before was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, meaning he injured people. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. Verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. If you save today, it was because of God's abundance of grace and mercy and love and long suffering, all that we talk about on Wednesday night. This is what verse 16 says, 15 rather. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Okay? That's why Christ came into the world, to save sinners. But Paul says something else that applies to not only him, but Zacchaeus. Paul says, of whom I am chief. Paul called himself chief sinner. Okay? And I've talked about this before. He didn't have one feather. Some of us are one feather sinners. Paul had a roll of feathers all the way probably out to this room. If you watch some of them old westerns, that's how them chiefs was. Okay? They had a lot of feathers. Okay? Paul had committed a lot of crimes. And the saying applied to Zacchaeus when we look at this text. And he says, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Now, there's something in the name. We don't want to overlook this because I said he said he was rich. He said he was chief. He said he was a publican. But he said he was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus meant something. You know what Zacchaeus meant? Pure. both morally and physically. He was pure. And if you dig deeper into the Greek, it meant he was, a word that I like to use for this church, he was transparent. That's what the name Zacchaeus meant. So when they named Zacchaeus Zacchaeus, they were saying, you're going to be pure, you're going to be holy, you're going to be transparent, you're going to be a man of integrity. All this is in the name Zacchaeus. And then saying is Levi, we talk about Levi. Levi meant Levi. He was supposed to be working for Jesus Christ in the sanctuary. And what was Levi doing? He was sitting at a tax collector's booth. Come on, let's make some application. None of us have raised our children to be anything but children of God. So we would like to believe that.
Yeah.
And we were raised that way. And some of us were sitting and standing and going and doing some of the things that we should not have been doing.
Right.
All of us. All of us. There's none righteous. No, not one. Okay? No, not one. Listen what he says in verse 2. He says, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. So we got Zacchaeus and who he was supposed to be. And he wasn't living up to who he was raised to be. Okay? And he says, he was chief. He was the commissioner. He was the boss man. He didn't work for anybody but Rome. He didn't have no accountability. That's a dangerous thing. When a man or a woman has no accountability. He had no accountability only to Rome and Caesar. And Caesar would send his men down to get a report on Zacchaeus. And if you got a lot of money, if you have a lot of money, what can you do? You can buy them off. You can pay them to say whatever you want them to say. Because he was rich. Didn't say that about Matthew. Didn't say that about any other publican but Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was rich. He had wealth. And he could buy some folks off. This is what you tell Caesar that I'm doing down here. I'm doing everything fine. And Zacchaeus was a terror. He was evil. And I hear people sing the little song, little Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a wee little man. No, Zacchaeus was an animal. Okay? He was a beast. He was a dirty, rotten, low down dog. Okay? We start talking about that. He was wicked. And we can put that, wrap it up in a song and make it sound like he was just a little nice guy, but he was wicked. He was wicked. He was a wicked, wicked man. Listen to what it says. Listen to what it says. We move on. We're going to drive right through this text and we're going to start eating some of this food. Listen. It says, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who should have been pure and holy and righteous and transparent and accountable to God. That's how we raised him, which was chief. Which was chief. Thank you, brother. Which was chief among the publicans. The publicans was evil people. Remember last week I told you, 2 weeks ago, you want to call somebody out of their name? You call them a publican. You say, you know what? You're worse than a publican. I mean, that's like the worst thing you can say to someone. And here he was, Zacchaeus. That's his Hebrew name, pure holy, but he worse than a publican. He's an evil man, and he was rich. How did he get rich? By taxing the people, by abusing people, by hurting people, by causing physical harm to people. He was everything he wasn't supposed to be, and he was the most wicked man in this area. Matter of fact, if you go to Jericho now, there's a monument. There was a house called the House of Zacchaeus. Okay? And that's where he would take people. It might have been a prison. That he would take people that could not pay him. Okay? He was wicked. He was wicked. Listen, verse number 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Now that word sought is interesting. He sought to see Jesus. Now he wasn't seeking to be saved. He had no intentions of giving up all his wealth and following Christ. That wasn't his intention. He just wanted to see Jesus. Okay? He wanted to see who this man was that was traveling all over the country, healing folks, saving folks, turning and causing his tax collectors to give their lives to him. He wanted to see who he was. Not that he wanted to be involved in this. Okay? We don't want to get that wrong. He wanted to see who he was.
I remember Obama came to Youngstown 3 or 4 years ago when he was campaigning. 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm watching TV on TV. I see church folk. 4 o'clock in the morning. Sitting at YSU. You say you have a church service at 4 o'clock in the morning. They laugh at you. But you know, we fight to get them out for a sunrise service. But they wanted to see Obama. Just to see him. And this is all Zacchaeus wanted to do. He wanted to see him. But in his seeing, in his wanting to see him, God stirred up something in him. So you have to be careful. And that word sought also means curiosity. He was curious. And we have an old saying that curiosity did what? Killed the cat. See, he was curious. He was curious. He wanted to see this man that was healing folks. But think about this from another perspective. His name was Zacchaeus. He was raised a Hebrew. That means he knew the Word of God. And see, the Old Testament pointed to Jesus. So something in his spirit might have been saying, well, what my mother and father was teaching me all these years, here's the man they saying was going to come, because that's what the Old Testament pointed to. It pointed to Christ. So there may have been a lot of reasons why Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. But he sought to see Jesus. And what does Jesus' name mean? Savior. Savior. We don't want to miss that. Joshua, Savior of the world. Jesus, when he was born, Mary was told by the angel Gabriel that he was going to be what? The Savior of the world. That's what he was born to be. The Savior of the world. But Zacchaeus had some issues. Okay? None of us on our own can come to the Lord on our own strength. We're going to have two problems on coming to the Lord. We're going to have the flesh, and you're going to have the world. They're always going to fight against you coming to the Lord. Okay? And listen to what it says. And he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. There's your two in verse number 4. There's the two issues that cost all of us. But really giving our lives to the Lord. The first one is people, the world, the possessions, all our friends. Because as soon as we say, you know what, I'm going to give myself totally to the Word of God, totally to God's Word, totally to ministry, and the world is going to call you a fool. The world is going to stop you. And this press is a picture of the world. These folks didn't want to get healed. They was just there. All these folks was just there. Just like in blind Bartimaeus' case. When blind Bartimaeus, he couldn't get to Jesus because the crowd was telling him to be quiet and shut up. Same with the woman with the issue of blood. She couldn't get to Jesus because the crowd. The people always will cost you to get into the Lord. Sometimes you just got to break away from them. Sometimes you got to run like Zacchaeus did. So you see the press is causing them. Then it says your flesh. And it's not an issue of him being short. This is not an issue with this. Jesus is saying this because this is a picture of your flesh. In your humanness, you ain't coming to the Lord. Okay? Your flesh will not allow you to say, I'm stopping doing anything. Okay? The flesh will always drive you deeper into sin. That's all the flesh is going to do, is drive you deeper into sin. Let's get higher. Let's drink more. Let's party more. Let's fornicate more. Let's do more, more, more. Because the flesh represents Satan. And Satan's job is threefold. Kill, steal, and destroy. That's all he want to do. And he will not allow you to take a step toward Jesus Christ. Amen. But Zacchaeus was moved. Now, see once that Holy Ghost started moving in your spirit, listen what happened. And he said, oh, I'm not going to let anyone stop me from getting to the Lord. Now this is a picture of determination that we must have. If we're going to get to the Lord, we must have this picture of determination in us. I'm not letting no one stop me from seeing Jesus. Okay? So this is what he's saying. And he ran before. So this short man ran down the road. You can look down behind you, see them trees. And he ran down the road, probably 50 feet, maybe 100 yards. He said, well, Jesus got to pass this way if he's going to Jerusalem. Okay? And he climbed up into a sycamore tree. Say he climbed up into the sycamore tree, and that's a picture. It's going to take some effort. Okay, you're going to get to the Lord. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some work. And I'm not saying for you not saved by works, but it's going to take some effort. Okay? It's going to take some work. And this is what he says. And he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. Just wanted to see him. Didn't want to be seen by him. Don't miss that. So the sycamore tree was a little short tree. It was thick. And you know Jericho Road, when the Good Samaritan was coming down Jericho Road, or the one priest, or it got wore out. Because them robbers would hide in the sycamore tree. You wouldn't see them until you were too late. And they'd jump out of the sycamore trees and tear you up. Okay? Because they were thick and leafy, and you could actually hide on them, in them. Listen. Listen to what he said. And he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. That's right. That's right. He was going to pass that way. And Zacchaeus knew this. Now it started to come to him. This may be truly the Son of God, because the Old Testament said he was going to go into Jericho, and he was going to go through into Jerusalem, and he was going to die on the cross. And we're only three chapters away from Jesus dying on the cross. This is his final time through Jericho. He was never going to pass that way again. Think about that. Think about that. For somebody in here that don't know the Lord, this may be the last time you ever hear Jesus Christ preach. If you don't know the Lord, tomorrow ain't guaranteed. Well, I'll go to Sunday. I'll go to church next Sunday, hear it again. Okay? D.L. Moody thought that. He was preaching in Chicago, and he had a whole big crowd of folks. He said, I'll finish this next week. Then he had the Great Chicago Fire, and it was 2/3 of them folks got killed in Chicago. And he said, I'll never say that again. He said, I'll never say that again. Listen, let's finish this thing. This is good. This is what he says. Verse number 5, we're going to drive right through the scripture. Bible-driven preaching. Listen. And when Jesus came to the place, this is a picture of him, Jesus just stopping there. And listen what he says. Because he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. Listen what he says. He never was introduced to Zacchaeus. And I guarantee you that the people of that town did not call him Zacchaeus. Okay? Okay? That was not his name. He was not pure and holy. They did not call him Zacchaeus. Bushwick Bill comes to mind. Something. I mean, he had probably had the nastiest day. Watch this. And when he came to the place, the tree, where Zacchaeus was at, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, I believe the only person called Zacchaeus, that was his mother. I believe Zacchaeus heard that. He said, what? I have been called that since I was a little boy. Okay? Am I reading too much into it? He said, Zacchaeus, make haste. I believe that's probably what Zacchaeus used to say to them folks he would come collect their money from.
Right.
That's how Jesus was. If you go through the Bible, Jesus was like that. He would use words that against you that you use. He said, make haste. And Zacchaeus probably told them folks that he was robbing and beating and stealing from, make haste or we'll be back. Break your legs or whatever. Because he was notorious. So here's Jesus saying, Zacchaeus, pure and holy one, make haste and come down. Stop right there. There's your first step. There's your first step to being saved. You got to come down from something. Oh, you got to humble yourself. You got to humble yourself. You got to come down off your high horse. And we're going to talk about Paul in his journey down Acts 9, down Damascus Road. And the first thing that God did to Paul was to knock him off his high horse. See? And then when you go to Ephesians 4:1, he says, you got to walk in what? Lowliness. And see, when he knocked you down, you got to stay down. Okay? And he not physically stay down, but you got to stay down. In your pride and arrogance. And here's Zacchaeus. And Jesus said to Zacchaeus, make haste. Zacchaeus may have had a moment of thought there. You know what? I know what this is going to cost me. See? I know what this is going to cost me. See? And there's a time for every sinner, when every sinner comes to a point in their conversion experience where they better go through their mind. This is going to cost me something. Okay? This is going to cost me something. And all you have to do is look at your own life and ask yourself, what has your born again experience cost you? Has it cost you anything? Has it cost you anything? Has you had to step down from some things? Listen what Zacchaeus did. And Zacchaeus, he said, make haste and come down. Well, it's so hard for a prideful man or a prideful woman to humble themselves and to admit that you're wrong. That's almost impossible for an arrogant, prideful person. But here's Zacchaeus. Here's Zacchaeus, verse number 5. Make haste and come down, for today I must abide where?
At thy
house. I must. Why? Why? Because Zacchaeus, he's saying, Zacchaeus, I'm not coming back. This is your last opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. This is it. Okay? Your time is up. This is all you have. And he said, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. That means I must stay there. That word abide means I must stay there. Okay? I must stay there. And he made haste. He made haste and came down. He came down. He humbled himself and came down. And when he came down, he received him how?
Joyfully.
And that word receive him means he accepted Jesus Christ on Jesus Christ's terms. Okay? He accepted on his terms. And he was saved. The moment he received him, he was saved. But preacher, how do you know that? Listen, when you get saved, you talk about this. I know many of you don't have your word with you, but listen to what 1 John 1:12 says. Listen to what 1 John 1:12 says. It says, but as many as what? Receive him. Have you received him? If you received him, you get something. When you receive Christ, you get something. Okay? You just don't get the name Christian. You get something. Listen to what he says. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to believe on his name. So when you receive Christ, you receive power. And Zacchaeus received power to walk away from sin. And the reason why so many folks is stuck in their sins and say they're Christian and stuck in their sins because they never received him. And if you've never received him, you've never received the power that you need to walk away from stuff.
Amen. Amen.
It takes power to break the bondage of sin.
Yes, sir.
So you have to ask yourself, have I received him? Zacchaeus received him how? Joyfully. Joyfully. He was happy to take this yoke of bondage off of him. He was happy to be able to walk away from a lifestyle of immorality and cheating and lying and stealing. Who wants to live like that? Sometimes we can get stuck up. Listen what 1 Timothy 6:9-10 says. And here's Zacchaeus. He says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Here's Zacchaeus, a picture of a man drowning in sin.
Yeah.
Drowning in evil and lust. He's drowning in it. And here comes Jesus.
Yeah.
Throw out the what? Throw out the lifeline. Here's Jesus throwing out the lifeline. And here's Zacchaeus grabbing hold. Grabbing hold for the love of money. Is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Oh, there's Zacchaeus.
Right.
There's our pure and holy one. Erred from the faith. Listen, erred from the faith and pierced himself through with many sorrows.
Yes.
I just hope that opened up that scripture a little bit. I just hope it opened up. So when we was in sin, and when we felt the bondage of sin, the weight of sin, where Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burdens is light. And the Satan's yoke is heavy. And his burdens are cumbersome. His burdens are heavy. And we can take off the yoke of bondage that Satan has us in and put on Jesus' yoke, we are into something real good. We ought to be happy. We ought to be happy. There should be nothing like a mean and evil and nasty, bitter Christian. That's an oxymoron. That's impossible. If you have received him, you ought to be full of joy. You ought to be full of joy. Listen. And when they saw it, here's the world. When they saw it. See, when someone gets saved, someone receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you got something to see. You can see it. You can see it. There's a change in me. You can see it. Tell me you saved, nobody can see it. You're going to dress different. You're going to act different. You're going to talk different. You're going to walk different. A whole lot of stuff going to be different about you, and it's going to be visible. Talking about undercover and you incognito. Secret service Christians, all that stuff. You walk to work the day after you get saved, you walk to work, it's going to be a change. They're going to know something happened here. What happened to you over the weekend? Man, I met Jesus Christ and he saved me. Hallelujah. Listen, and when they saw it, now remember when we talked about Levi wasn't nearly as notorious as Zacchaeus. Because when Levi was saved in Luke 5, it said the scribes and the publicans murmured. The scribes and the Pharisees murmured. Here's Zacchaeus. Listen to what it says. They all, the whole city, this dude was wicked. The whole city of Jericho murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Who were they to talk? Who gave them the right to say that he was going to his house to be with a sinner? Listen, I don't care whose house he go to, he going to the house of a sinner. I mean, he's going whoever house he would have went to. He was going to the house of a sinner. Oh, it's so easy to see other folks' sins. It's so easy to see other folks' shortcomings and faults. Say that. And point the finger at somebody else. Remember, when you pointed it at someone, how many of you got pointing back at you? Ain't that something? They said he was going to the house to be with a sinner. Listen. Zacchaeus was full of the Holy Ghost now. He was full of power. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He had something different going on now. He wasn't stunning them. Listen to what it said in verse 8. We're wrapping this up. And Zacchaeus, now you can stand. It said in verse 8, back in Zacchaeus stood. He stood. Now he's going to live up to his name. I'm righteous. I'm transparent. I'm a man of integrity. I'm going to live up to the name that God gave me and through my parents. And listen what he started doing. Oh, listen, this is good stuff here. This is good stuff here. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord. You got to talk to them. Listen, if you got it right vertically, you ain't got to worry about the horizontal. You ain't got to worry about the folks standing next to you. When you right with God, see, when I go to work, people say, I said, listen, I'm right with God. The warden, the deputy warden, the lieutenants and captains, they're all going to be happy with me because I'm right with God. And nobody, listen, ain't nothing in my file. Pull it out. Ain't nothing in my file because I'm right with God. And if you're a man of God, a woman of God, you ought to be the best. You ought to be the best. Our song goes, simply the best. Better than all the rest because you are a man of God on a job full of sinners. You are a man of God. You ought to be the best. If you're a woman working at a plant or a department, you ought to be the best. Everybody ought to. If I had 10 of him or 5 of her, that's what your boss ought to say. You ought not. If you start work at 3:30, you shouldn't be getting there at 3:29. Doggone Christians. Look at them. That's why I don't go to church. See? But we ought to be the best. And Zacchaeus said, you know what, Jesus? He said, look, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord. Now he's gonna make himself right with the Lord. See, we have to get right with the Lord. Amen. You mean we ain't right with the Lord? We can be right with those on horizontal, but you better be right with the Lord. And look what he says. Because the Lord knew all things. God knew everything about Zacchaeus. And he knows everything about you. Let me read one scripture. Let me read one scripture. I know y'all have your Bibles. But let's make this plain. Because I think some folks leave here, think God, when they leave here, they leave the presence of God. Listen to what Psalms 139 says. It says, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with what? All my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind me and before and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be a light about me. Listen, listen, listen. I read that song. Listen, what God is saying, you can't hide from God. He knows what's going to come out of your mouth before you even say it. Oh, I wish I could talk to some folks that say they got to speak to God in a prayer language and in tongues. Listen, God knows what's going to come out of your mouth before you say it. What kind of God you serve? You got to speak to him in a foreign language. When he's the author of all languages. You don't even have to say it. He already knows. Listen. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, watch me. Watch this new life that I have in Christ. He said, watch this new life. He said, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Half of my goods. He said, this is folks he didn't abuse the most. He didn't have to give them half. The law did not require him to give them half. He said, I'm going to double up the law. Oh, this is a man who sold out to God. He said, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Remember the rich young ruler? Yes. Jesus said, go sell all you have and give to the poor. And the rich young ruler said, he didn't listen, fool. Listen, Jesus. I ain't got time for that. I didn't work too hard for this. See, the rich young ruler is a picture of the self-made man. I didn't work too hard. I didn't work too hard. Listen, he said, and listen, he says, half my goods. My goods. This is his stuff. I give to the poor. Listen, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation or extortion or deceitful ways, if I have taken anything, listen how he says, I'll restore him how?
Fourfold.
You know what the law required? Pay him back 20%.
Alright.
20%. You know, you pay him back 20%. But here, what's he saying? Fourfold. I'm going to double up the law again. Oh, he's got me double it up. How about you?
Alright.
You owe anybody some money? I got some folks who owe me some money. You come to the Lord, you want to make things right. And see, this is what this picture of. When you come to the Lord, you want to make things right. Have you made things right since you came to the Lord? Now, I know some folks, you can't make things. They may have been gone. They may have passed away and gone on to be with the Lord. But can you make things right with the folks that you have abused? That may be your wife. That may be your children. Maybe your husband. You can make things right. This is what God is saying. When you come to the Lord, you have a desire in you to make things right.
Amen.
That comes with the whole salvation experience. I'm going to make things right.
Amen.
And this guy's saying, if you're rich, you've got to give everything. That's not what it's saying, but you're going to make things right.
Yes, sir.
Verse number 9, as we get ready to close here, saying, and Jesus said unto him, this day See, when Jesus tells you this, you can rest assured. Because this is getting ready to be in red, if you got a red letter Bible. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he is a son of Abraham. This day. There ain't nothing you work on. Some people, well, you know, I'm working on it. No, you don't work on it. When the Lord comes into your life, this day, things change about you. You will never forget the day that the Lord came into your life, because some things change about you. Salvation. You'll know when you're saved. So, I don't know if I die, if I'm going to heaven or if I'm going to hell. You ought to know. If you sitting here today and don't know if you died today, you going to heaven or hell, you're not saved. I'm just going to stand on it. You can't stand before God and not know whether you belong where you're at. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you say, well, if I die today, I don't know where I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to go. There's a problem. You need to see the Lord. You need to invite him into your house. Say, come in, sup with me. Talk to me about this. You can't die with question marks. You can't afford to die and not know whether you're going to heaven or hell. I know y'all say, well, I knew you were going to say something about heaven and hell. That's every Sunday. That's every Sunday. That's every Sunday. And it should be in every sermon. You go to your home church, you ought to hear it every Sunday. You ought to hear it every Sunday. You ain't hearing it every Sunday. You ought to say, Pastor, you know, you need to talk about heaven and hell. Because this is serious business. He was passing by. And he was passing by, and this was Zacchaeus' last shot. We don't know. Listen, verse number 10. This is the whole Bible. This is the whole Bible. This is the whole Bible. This is the theme of the whole Bible.
Yes.
For the Son of Man is come. Now, he came. He ain't sent an angel. He ain't sent a preacher. He came. He stepped out of glory. The Bible said he stepped out of glory. He humbled himself. And took on a form of what? Simple man. And walked this earth to do what? Seek and save that which is lost. And the saints of God ought to say, hallelujah. I thank God. I thank God that he stepped out of glory, set aside his glory, and came to this earth and walked it for 33 and a half years. For our sins.
Amen.
For our sins. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Father God, we thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you, Father God, for stepping out of glory and walking this earth. And Father God, I believe you would have stepped out of glory to save just one sinner. Because you're that kind of God. You are a holy, powerful, wonderful, glorious God. And we thank you, Father God. We thank you for everything you've done in our lives, Father God. And Father God, we thank you for everything you're going to do in the lives of those who may be here and not know you as their personal Savior. Give them the power you gave Zacchaeus to say, Lord. Lord, come into my life. Take away all these things that I'm in bondage to. Take away the love that I have for things that you know are wrong. Clean me up. Make me accountable. Make me transparent. Make me pure and holy. Father God, we pray for these young children here today, Father. We pray, Father God, that on this day, Father God, they will remember this picnic and how they heard the word of God in the park. And as they run around and have fun, Father God, be with them. Let them always be mindful, Father God, that there is a God. Father God, we pray right now for the mothers of these children and grandmothers that are here. We pray for this congregation, all our friends and guests, Father God, that they would have a joyous and blessed time. In the name of Jesus, we pray all these things, and the church of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all. I'm going to have Reverend Jones come up. He's going to bless the food. And we're going to rejoice. Amen.
Amen.
And Reverend Jones is going to not only bless the food, but he's going to open up the doors to the church. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, brother.